Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, the chest freezer.
Jordan Morris, boy detective. You got a cold chest there, buddy?
Not bragging, Jordan. I got a new lifestyle, my friend.
Okay, let's hear about it.
Well, I can deep freeze anything I fucking want to, dude.
Oh my gosh. Did you, have you taken over the mantle of Batman villain Mr. Freeze?
Yeah, absolutely. Only instead of freezing superheroes, I freeze tater tots.
Nice. Well, what, do you have some sort of freeze machine? You're a kitchen gadget guy. Is this some sort of new gadget from Sweden that freezes?
Yeah, it's called a chest freezer. It's just a big freezer. That's okay. All it is. But the reason I mention it, Jordan, is not just to brag about the fact that I have 7 cubic feet of extra freezer space thanks to my new chest freezer from Home Depot. It's that I went on a popular e-commerce website to try and purchase a chest freezer. It turns out you got to get it from Home Depot. Mm. Anyway, while I was on that site, I took a look at the Q&A section because I was trying to figure out, some of them are auto defrosting and some are, you have to defrost them yourself, you know, with like an ice scraper or whatever. And I wanted to figure out whether this particular model was self defrosting or not. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read, I'll read the answer first and then I'll read the question.
Okay. Well, like Jeopardy.
Yeah. Hello, and thank you for your question about the Midea MRC050S0AWW chest freezer. In response to your inquiry, the unit is easy to maintain and it is a manual defrost model. It's easy to open and has a defrost drain that makes it easier to drain defrost water and clean. Better Business Bureau, A+ accredited business. So that's a useful, that's exactly the information that I needed to know. So congratulations to the good people at whoever sells this Midea freezer for answering that. Can I read to you the question?
Please.
I just want a freezer to meats and ice, not human remains. I am elderly and disabled. Please, is this freezer is to maintain?
This dude is absolutely looking for a place to stash human remains.
Well, specifically looking for a freezer.
Yeah.
To stash human remains. F-R-E-Z-Z-E-R.
Well, I mean, if you know, if there's one place to stash your human remains, and just, you know, wait till the heat dies down, you got to go Frezer, right?
Do you think Frezer is maybe a second tier Happy Days character?
Oh yeah, like after Henry, there's like one season of Happy Days, Henry Winkler's gone, and then they bring in his like cousin Frezer and his catchphrase, "Hello."
I just want a freezer to meats and ice, not human remains.
I mean, isn't that, I mean, when it boils down to it, I think this reviewer has hit upon an essential human truth. I mean, what do we all want if not a freezer to meats?
And ice, Jordan.
And ice, not human remains.
Plus, I think we all from time to time find ourselves asking big questions, you know, and sometimes even our priest or our religious leader, mm-hmm. or certainly not our politicians, can answer them, you know, like, is this freezer is to maintain?
This is so funny because I was actually looking on a popular e-commerce website for an ice pick recently, mm-hmm. you know, just have found some good information, but somebody asking the question, is this ice pick good for stab? Definitely not for boss.
By the way, I feel like we're being kind of jerky not revealing what the e-commerce website is. It's Fogdog.
Right.
Fogdog.com.
I saw an amazing Christmas thing recently that I would like to tell the listeners about, but should we introduce our guest and get his take on it as well?
Yeah, stand-up comedian, writer, one of the co-hosts of the Nerd Poker Podcast, our friend and yours, one of the funniest guys there is, Mr. Blaine Kapach. Hi, Blaine.
Hi. Hey, hi. Check two. Hey, hi. Over.
Coming in loud and clear.
10-4, buddy.
Okay. Yeah.
Drop payload now.
I'm in a cab over Pete with a reefer on over at Jimmy Hall and Hogs. I'm on TV right now, you guys. Come back.
We just leaned into Blaine's greatest strength, not just as a comedian, but in life, which is humor about the trucker and monkey television show, BJ and the Bear.
Whoa. Oh, right. Those guys. Oh, no. I was just talking about trucking.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no monkey. There's no monkey involved, Jesse.
Got it.
You know, the year that Star Wars came out, which I loved, by the way, I don't know if you've seen it, Star Wars.
I've been meaning
to. I'm a medium Star Wars guy, Blaine.
You know, the same year Star Wars came out, Smokey and the Bandit was also in the theaters. They were both nominated for Oscars. And I loved them both so much. I loved them equally. And now I would, of course, say that I'm all Star Wars. But back then I was like, I'd seen Smokey and the Bandit a dozen times.
You know what? I watched Smokey and the Bandit as an adult man for the first time 5 years ago, let's say. Smokey and the Bandit rules. Smokey and the Bandit is so great. Like, you really get to know the appeal of Burt Reynolds not doing anything besides chewing gum. Like, it really is great to watch him do that.
Burt and the Reynolds.
This is kind of crazy. I know this isn't a popular opinion, but I like the Smokey and the Bandit prequels.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, you know, I think they're for kids. They're obviously right. For kids, but they tell a really grand story. It's operatic.
I guess I like practical effects.
You mean Hal Needham style practical effects where they go, whoa, and hold their hat, and then they cut to a completely different car. And then they land in an impossible fashion, and then they drive out holding their hat.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was talking about, yeah, Blaine. Thank you.
Crumbled. Everybody saw it crumble. Next scene. What the fuck? Rip off. You see Hooper?
I haven't seen Hooper. Jordan watched, what was it called?
I have seen both Hooper and Gator recently.
Gator I saw in the theater. It rocked. Jerry Reed was a great bad guy.
Gator, it's just a wild movie. It is that, and we've already covered Gator, so I'll just give a quick synopsis on my thoughts on Gator. But it is not about him fighting alligators, which I was disappointed to learn. I sat there that whole movie like, this next scene is going to be the one where he fights the gator. I just fucking know it. But no, that's just his nickname. And it is such a wild combination of like that Burt Reynolds thing, which is like he's the rascal on the run. And at the beginning, someone sings a song about him, about how great he is.
Before he comes straight out of hell.
Yeah. And but then it just goes into like dark ass, like 70s social commentary, like in the middle of filming it, Taxi Driver came out and someone's like, yeah, we need some comedy character. We have these comedy characters. Let's kill them brutally before the end.
Yeah, they just had Paul Schrader do a pass.
Yeah, it like, does seem like
it's
that.
Not his original script, but they had him add some of his signature grit.
Make sure you kill a house full of cats. Get the house full of cats getting burned alive.
Yes, yes. That is exactly what I'm talking about. There's a funny cat lady who dies in a house fire, and you assume that all of her cats also burn with her.
I remember in the theater going, did I just watch a whole house full of cats burn? It's kind of weird. I'm a kid.
Yeah. I shouldn't be here.
Yeah. I'd be better off trying to sneak in to watch 10.
It's the 70s, though. The kids could just waltz in and sit down and see whatever movie they wanted to, probably, huh?
Yeah, and you ended up watching, like, you know, Brannigan. watching John Wayne curb somebody's teeth out.
And then like, go to the concession stand, grab yourself a pack of unfiltered cigarettes.
Murdered by death. And Capote doing tongue-in-cheek double entendres. Jesus, what's happening?
Blaine, how's your holiday going? Are you and the family watching holiday specials? Have you gotten your kids some stuff? How's holiday stuff going?
Everything's pretty good right now, I guess. We're all done shopping. My kid is 7 right now, so he still believes. He's over in the other room right now. He still believes in Santa Claus. He's so stupid. Dress up and we wrap the stuff and hide it in the money to just guess not put two and two together. It's amazing. Anyway, everything is pretty good, I think. We're having fun. They took him out to look at the lights. My wife's twin sister has triplets, and they're all contained, I guess. So they get together every now and then and hang out just to socialize. I feel bad because he's not with other kids. I feel like all these kids are going to be shell-shocked somehow for years to come.
Is that how twins work? Is it like an exponential thing where twins then have triplets?
Yeah, the triplets are born pregnant, and they've already given birth to two litters of 9 and 15.
Wowie zowie!
So yeah, there's a lot of kids. It's fucked up.
That is,
but she works for Disney, so she has insurance.
That is my favorite gritty 70s Paul Schrader movie. Is Born Pregnant.
Yeah. I don't know if I have mentioned this on the show, but Teresa and I, we have three children, and sort of inspired by a combination of a philosophy from our friend John Hodgman and Teresa's experience when she found out the truth about Santa Claus, which was like deeply, deeply traumatic for her. And she like had to spend years coming to trust her parents again. We decided we are going to
keep it down. My kid is really stupid.
We decided we're going to teach our children that Santa Claus
is a real story. Can you keep it down? My cat is just a fucking moron. This fucking piece of shit still thinks that Santa brings the chia grass every year.
So we decided we're going to teach our kids that Santa is like a story about Christmas, you know, like it's a real story that we can take real lessons from, but that Santa is just a story in the same way that, you know, their favorite books are a story.
Or the French Connection.
Yeah, or the French Connection. Or The Hot Rock, whatever the film may be, The Conversation. All of these are just stories. And we explained it. And when we explained it to Grace, we said, you know, we're gonna tell Oscar about it. Oscar's my middle kid. Grace is my oldest. We're going to tell Oscar about it. But for now, just play it cool. And Grace said, okay. And this was, I think, two Christmases ago. And Grace was 7. And she played it cool that winter. And then in between that Christmas and the next Christmas, she possibly forgot that Santa Claus wasn't real. And so she was acting like Santa Claus was real. And so we kind of went back to Grace, you know, Santa Claus is a story, and the story is a real story that we can take lessons from, but it's not a true story, and Santa Claus isn't a real person. And she just rejected it. She reverse gaslighted us. She refused to process that information, and right now, 9 years old, 100% believe Santa Claus is real.
Wow.
Children's minds are extraordinary.
That you can flip that on and off and put your own blinders on.
I guess.
I like these blinders. They look great, I hope.
Yeah, they're nice. They're very peaky.
Yeah. Have either of you done like the Christmas light tour? Have either of you done like the like find the, you know, the street where everybody goes cuckoo for Christmas and like, you know, walk or drive down that?
Yeah, shout the fuck out to Candy Cane Lane.
Oh yeah, Candy Cane Lane.
That's what's up. Pasadena, California. People with way too much time.
And lights. Have you gone to Descanso Gardens for any of those?
Yeah. I'm a Descanso Gardens member. Descanso Gardens is a local sort of arboretum type situation.
Gorgeous.
It is very beautiful. It's a wonderful local institution. And there literally is nowhere else you're allowed to go with children. So the depth of my gratitude for the Los Angeles Arboretum and Descanso Gardens really is unfathomable.
I was looking at some Christmas houses. I was out on my, you know, about these dumb little walks that the government says we have to take every day. You know, about
Dr. Fauci.
You're walking anywhere. Yeah. Take your walk and shove it up your ass, govt.
Wow. Blaine, they'll come for you. The secret police will come for you.
I don't care, man. I'm not flying, so put me on your no-fly list.
Blaine, you gotta take your dumb little bullshit walk every day. You have to. The government says.
I better be quiet. There's a dots on me.
Guys, I gotta go to the bathroom real quick. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Hello, it's me, Dr. Fauci.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Blaine, we've been getting visits from Dr. Fauci from time to time. And
Blaine, I heard that you are not taking your little walks.
Well, you know, I don't want to go outside because I worry that I might go behind the wake of a jogger and get COVID.
Blaine, if you don't take your little fucking walks, I'm not going to come to your house with my vaccine.
That's how he says vaccine. That's how he says vaccine.
I don't know. Well, I have left my sleeve rolled up by the chimney with care and hope that I would be inoculated when St. Fauci gets here.
No, not if you're not taking care of yourself by going on a little walk once a day.
You know what? You're right. Tomorrow morning, first thing, I'm going to walk over to Del Taco and I'm going to sit in an enclosed area with some strangers for a few minutes.
As long as you walk, I don't care. Go for it.
Okay.
It's me, Dr. Fauci. I invented a vaccine.
Yes, you know it's him because he says it's me and then his name.
I'm like Mario in that sense. That's my neighbor, Mario. He always announces his presence.
Just look out for Wouchy, the evil Fauci.
Do you have a catchphrase beyond take a walk?
Yeah, my catchphrase is strike three, Washington Nationals.
Oh boy, you're not on the team. You just threw out the first pitch, Fauci.
Strike three, boy. You're out of here. Home run champion, Dr. Fauci.
Hard to believe that guy's 32 years old.
They call me the Louisville Slugger.
I think that's the name of a bat brand.
They call me Rawlings.
Fauci, you'll be very proud of me. I was out there taking my dumb little bullshit walk the other day.
Congratulations, Jordan.
Thank you. I'm a good boy. I just want Fauci to, you know, come by and give me that, you know, the vaccine or the vaccine or whatever it is. I want it as soon as I can get it. So,
Jordan, I'll stick you with my vaccine because you are a walk zaddy.
Thank you. Thank you. I was out on my dumb little walk, and I was walking by some Christmas houses, and I saw...
Excuse me, Jordan.
Yes.
Jesse's coming back in here, and I have to go take a shit.
Okay. Bye, Dr. Fauci. Brian, insert a helicopter noise.
Whoa. Hey, TMI with the shit thing.
Yeah, gross, dude.
He's already gone. He can't hear you. He gave me the headphones.
I was taking my little walk and I saw something that made me feel more conservative than I have ever felt in my life.
Yes.
Something that shocked me. Mm-hmm. And I
Hunter Biden's laptop.
I saw, yes. It was a very unusual display.
Uh-huh.
No, just standard Christmas lights, and then a very down the middle manger scene. You know, baby Jesus, Mary Joseph, wise men, couple angels.
Sure.
And
hack.
Yeah, right. I know. Yes. I mean, just bordering on the nose.
Right.
Classic manger scene. But it mixed in with the animals was Donkey from Shrek.
Well, he's an animal.
But he's a cartoon animal from a meme movie. I felt like it was so disrespectful. Like, if the baby was Shrek, I would be more okay with it. But
yeah,
it just felt so blasphemous to me.
Well, Shrek is an allegory, like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, I didn't know that. I guess I didn't know about the secret symbolism behind Shrek.
Shrek represents the Christ child.
Right.
Donkey represents, let's say, the Apostle John.
Okay.
Princess represents the woman whose feet get washed by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's his face? The famous bald actor represents the wrathful God of the Old Testament.
Wow. Well, I had no idea.
I want to say John Larroquette, but that's not right.
I don't know nothing about Shrek. I just know Shrek and Donkey, basically.
Yeah, I saw Shrek. Man, it sucks. It sucks so much.
Yeah, no.
Never watch Shrek as an adult. It sucks.
Yeah, the caterpillar that he squeezes out onto his toothbrush represents Paul Anka. Yeah.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story.
Which one of these, Blaine, what character would you say is Engelbert Humperdinck?
You know, I'm going to, there was a cut scene. I don't know if you got the DVD. Mm-hmm. That when they released the Blu-ray, and it has all these incredible scenes in it.
I got the 3D Blu-ray. The movie's in 2D, but the menus are in 3D.
Okay, well, you have to go into there's a few sections of commentary in there, and they show a secret clip of Engelbert Humperdinck in this pool hall scene where they get in a big fight and he gets a pool cue broken across the bridge of his nose, and he goes, "Ay caramba," and then they cut to Bart Simpson, and that's why they can't use it.
Oh.
You gotta license that. You gotta do a whole Who Framed Roger Rabbit thing if you want to put Bart Simpson in the movie.
They tried to do like a Room 222 thing with him, and it just didn't work. Like, they were gonna plug him into a reality scene, almost like a Roy Orbison hologram. There would be this Bart walking around in a class and stuff, but nobody ever talked to the Simpsons people about getting the rights to it.
Blaine, would you say that Roy Orbison is your go-to hologram?
He's my ghost to hologram.
Nice, nice.
Well, he does have a very haunting voice.
That's true. Is there, that I am not aware of, a hologram tour of the Traveling Wilburys? Is that what's going on?
No, well, some of them are still alive. Well, Jeff Lynne is still alive.
Yeah, so it's just Jeff Lynne and then a set of holograms?
It's Jeff Lynne, a couple of holograms, and then some like leftover Chuck E. Cheese robots.
It's me, Bob Dylan, in the holograms. Jim quit.
And to me, Pasquale, the pizza man, the only human at the restaurant.
Now, I'd like to do a Desolation of Row. That's long a song.
Jordan, in response to your question, we did go out and see the Christmas lights. I love going to see the Christmas lights. That is something that I am genuinely into. Although I will never be a person who puts up a lot of Christmas. I put out one strand of outdoor Christmas lights over my what do you call that? That covers my front door, the portcullis or something. I put one strand of Christmas lights there. I like a single color light. I like to keep it simple. But I do enjoy going to see other people's Christmas displays.
Yeah, it is totally amazing. And like a testament to like dad energy, you know?
Yeah.
Like what a dad can do with massive amounts of dad energy.
I feel like the thing that I miss from my own childhood, like the magical thing, you know, how some people like remember their Victorian style Christmas or their 1950s American style Christmas, like these sort of traditional ideas of what Christmas is. The thing that I miss most of all is not snow, because it didn't snow where I grew up. It's Christmas displays by gay couples with a lot of time on their hands. Mm. Like growing up in San Francisco, when it was difficult for gay men to adopt, there were just a lot of upper middle class couples in my neighborhood and adjoining neighborhoods that really went all out on Christmas displays that were super tasteful, like completely absurd, but also none of those like inflatable snowmen, just like turning an entire house into a giant Christmas present with an enormous ribbon on it, that kind of thing. Like where one of the dudes was a window dresser for Gumps or whatever.
Like they both worked for FAO Schwartz for a couple of years. That's where they met.
Yeah, like it's the San Francisco equivalent of Halloween in Burbank, where everyone works in special effects, is Christmas in San Francisco, where everyone is a window dresser for a large downtown department store. It is absolutely fucking great.
Blaine, did you grew up in Baltimore, right? That's like where your childhood was?
I grew up in Dallastown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
About an hour north of Baltimore, but yeah.
What did you have? I guess I know nothing about the climate there. Did you have like a traditional white Christmas?
we had a horrible tropical climate in Pennsylvania, and it was like Christmases were at least 90 degrees, and I was forbidden to hear about Christmas from my evil step parents. Which, and here's the twist, they turned out to be my real parents.
Whoa.
Wow. Wow.
We were just saying we were your step parents because we don't love you that much.
I mean, Blaine, I don't mean to scold you as I might scold my own child, but it should have occurred to you that no one is raised by two step parents. Like, unless your parents divorce, each of them remarry, then each of your real parents dies in an accident. And then your step-parents fall in love at their respective funerals.
I only have seen like a couple of seasons. There's like three or four seasons I didn't see yet. So I don't really know how it worked.
Right.
But they're my step-parents.
Right.
Yeah, it's canon.
No, it sounds like canon to me. Jesse, if you just watch The Mandalorian, it fills in some of the gaps.
Thank you. Some of the references to the Clone Wars I missed in Blaine's description of his childhood.
Right.
But, you know, I know who Boba Fett is.
Right. You realize that to some people, Bo-Katan means something, but not to you.
You want to hear an idea I had about Boba Fett the other day while I was watching The Mandalorian?
Sure.
If Boba Fett was in the George W. Bush administration, George W. Bush would have nicknamed him Bobby Farts.
George W. Bush always given those funny nicknames.
Yep. He loved funny nicknames. He nicknamed everybody. Would have called Boba Fett Bobby Farts.
He probably would.
It's a shame that like he didn't take his helmet off and it was just like,
wait, Scooby-Doo was inside?
That's me, Boba Fett. Ooh, I didn't have that thing off. I'm like wearing a tin can on my head. Yeah. You ever see a cat walking backwards around the house trying to get an M&M's bag off its head? That's how I felt the whole time. I was so caught in the Sarlacc.
Don't sass me or I'll blast you with my jetpack.
I'd like to see Boba Fett take his helmet off and confetti explodes.
Yeah, this is that I don't dance.
I know. Yeah, it could be wackier. I did like how in The Mandalorian, I don't know how intentional this was, but the fact that like Boba Fett is a little too paunchy for the armor is the best.
It rules. I think like our friend Kumail Nanjiani gets cast in one of these superhero movies and just puts in the work and gets crazy yoked. And I like that the guy who played Boba Fett 15 years ago was like, you get what you get. He's like, make the suit chunkier.
I would love to see like Boba Fett when he gets back to his hotel room after a mission. He takes his armor off and like he's just got like the red marks, the lines on his back and sides and chest where the armor was. Like his socks were too tight.
Just goes straight for the mini bar.
It's like, oh God. And they're there for a few hours. Just big red lines.
Boba Fett noshing on a Toblerone, watching some Spectrevision.
Yeah.
These things are so expensive. These things are so expensive.
There, that's the Boba Fett voice.
Yeah, it's Boba Fett's famous voice.
Gee, I wonder what would happen if Boba Fett met Dr. Fauci. I bet that would...
Well, I'd rather not know.
Anyway, I'll just...
That's why I do this. When I mean this, I mean fly to a Sarlacc pit.
Do you think Boba Fett, this is a serious question. I know we've been joking around a lot on the show, but before Boba Fett gets into his armor, do you think he puts on talcum powder?
He's gotta be gold bonding that thing up.
Oh yeah, gold bond, that's medicated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think afterwards he uses some tiger balm?
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, nothing if you're finding yourself with that Beskar rash.
Sure.
From the Beskar
steel. Try some icy hot.
Right. How many times has this happened to you? I got a Beskar rash.
One of my favorite things about the third set of three movies was C-3PO noticeably fatter than he was. And like he's a little wider and like they just sort of made the costume a little wide. It just looks like a little paunch. But it's instead of like getting another guy that fits in the suit, they made a new wider suit. I thought it was That was interesting.
Do you think that what was happening was not about the actor, but rather was about the idea that as they get older, droids widen out a little bit, just as we all do?
Sure.
Their constitution, ooh, their, you know, they eat the same, but it seems like they gain weight.
R2-D3.
50% more.
Yeah, C-3PO, you know, he's not a teenager anymore. He can't, you know, he can't put away two Carl's Jr.'s famous stars in the same meal like he could before. And, you know, and then he got that divorce and just kind of wanted to stop putting in the work.
Jordan, we should explain it's Hardee's east of the Rockies.
Oh, right, where C-3PO is from. I forgot, C-3PO is from Maine, where they call it Hardee's.
Yeah.
We had Roy Rogers when I was coming. Growing up.
Yeah. Beep boop, beep boop, boop, beep boop, boop. That's R2-D2 saying, I like Red Robin. I like Carl's Jr. and Jack in the Box's commitment to miscellany. I think that's theme for a fast food restaurant is, I don't know, what do you want? I'll make it.
Hey, how about some pastrami tots?
Okay.
Egg rolls, dot, 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 for some reason.
Oh, the dim sum of Jack in the Box. A guy follows you in a car with a tray of stuff.
Jack in the Box, you know, great teriyaki bowl and great Venetian blinds if you need them. If you're looking for some Venetian blinds, Jack in the Box.
Yeah, they got all kind of window treatments there. It's wonderful. They'll actually consult with you on a custom job.
That's really, and real ice cream shakes, too.
Yeah, so everything you could want.
Ooh, I really like the slats.
The slats. I mean, is there anything better than, you know, smoking a J, strolling on down to Jack in the Box, getting yourself some egg rolls and some slats?
Yeah. God, I love to fuck those slats.
Yeah. They love it. Nasty slats. Those nasty slats. Can't get enough.
It's Miss Jackson if you're slapsy.
Oh, yeah. Your blinds are vertical, baby.
Mm-hmm. I know you two both have kids listening. And also, this episode is airing after Christmas. What did the kids want this Christmas? Like, is there like a Tickle Me Elmo? Is there like a thing that is hard to get for kids?
Yeah. Interpersonal relationships with their peers.
Oh, sure. You got to get in a virtual queue at Best Buy for those.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. What does a modern, like, 7, 8, 9-year-old want for Christmas?
I got him one of those jet ski things with a tree. Sorry, he sees my lips moving. It's like Hal can read your Bowman and Poole's lips outside. Left him outside to die outside the disco. He's looking at me. I have to.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Legos. He wanted Legos.
Yeah, my kids just want Legos too.
They're relaxing on Christmas. I love them on Christmas. They're fun.
I, years ago, wrote an afterword for a book called Mail Order Mysteries that was a book about the things you order out of comic books in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. And my daughter found it on my bookshelf and got completely obsessed with reading it. But she had no interest in my beautiful, elegiac, moving afterword that I wrote for this book. She just wants the stuff. Like, it's a book that sort of is like, this is what they promised. This is what it was really like. And it is always bad.
Sure.
But my daughter does not care. She wants the 8-foot ghost or whatever. She wants, there's a pedometer. She asked for the comic book pedometer for Christmas.
Just don't get her the x-ray specs or else she'll see the terrible bones in her hand.
I know.
The corn gun. Potato gun. You know, I remember I must have been in fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, and I sent away to that Charles Atlas dynamic tension program.
No way.
Where you would use your muscles against each other to build muscle, like with resistance against yourself. And I was like, yeah, I'm tired of getting sand kicked in my imaginary face by that dickhead in this drawing. And I sent away for it, and I forgot that I had done it. And like maybe a year and a half later, I get a letter saying, this company is completely out of business. You're an asshole.
Wow.
No.
They didn't say that the company's out of business part.
So how did you get so buff then?
I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
You know? Yeah.
I like to not walk. And sorry, my kid just, okay, he's gone. All right, good. Sorry, my kid was just over here grabbing something. We've been watching Gravity Falls. Do you guys watch Gravity Falls?
I've watched a few Gravity Falls. It is, it's funny.
It was really, really good, and it's over in two seasons. Really smart show. I liked it a lot.
Man, yeah. Obviously, this is a frequent conversation topic on the show, but man, kids TV is so much fucking better than when we were kids.
Oh, man, Jesus. Are you kidding? I had a Hong Kong Fooey.
Oh, boy. A problematic dog.
Yeah, Heathcliff. What about Heathcliff?
Also very problematic. I don't know if Heathcliff was.
Well, cancel culture says you can't put an entire fish in your mouth and then pull out the skeleton.
Yeah. Sorry if you don't want me playing a trash can like it was drums. Call the Wambulance.
Wait, did the fat Albert gang also live in a trash dump?
I don't know. Yeah.
No, they were kids in a neighborhood and they met in a trash dump. And I think it was better for some of them and worse for others.
Like some of them lived at a Superfund site.
Rudy had a guitar, so he had money.
Right.
Everybody else made their own instruments, you know.
Snorks. We had fucking snorks.
Yeah, fucking snorks. What about those sports balls that turned into Hug'em toys? By turning inside out.
Oh, I don't remember those.
Yeah, poofles or something.
I mean, hey, I think we can all agree the snorks were bad, but ooh, those slats, huh?
Oh, yeah, those nasty slats. Those
nasty slats, far better than those prudish snorks.
You know, I don't know if there's any toys that are on the market right now that aren't tapped into some sort of database that gives your algorithm to some sort of corporation in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like all the toys are connected to an app that gives you a virus that fucks up your phone somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe that's what we had on this generation. Like our cartoons were a lot worse, but our toys were not talking to Mark Zuckerberg.
Furby report.
Yes, Mr. Zuckerberg. Apparently Jordan likes cats.
Oh, man. Shut up, Furby. Don't tell Zuckerberg I like cats.
And also seasonal monster cereals.
Oh, man.
Excellent, Furby. Self-destruct.
No, don't make me. I've just learned what love was.
Self-destruct.
You are Lord.
Who knew that this whole time Furbies could speak full English? They just chose to go to fuck with us.
They're programmed to do that in human in the presence of humans.
Mm.
It's the eighth law of robotics. They don't get up that high usually, but it's up there.
Why didn't Congress bring this up with Zuckerberg?
Yeah, right? A Furby cannot let harm come to a human.
Or through a action allow human to come to harm.
Furby must never kill Furby. I know I'm getting to the Planet of the Apes rules here, but
Andy Serkis is great at everything.
Yeah, great at everything.
If the umpire calls an infield fly, that means that the runner is dead. He's out. And so there is no force play at the other bases.
That's also one of the rules of Furbies. Yes, we all know them. Why are we? And the audience knows them, too. I don't know why we're sitting here rattling off these Furby rules that everybody knows. Don't feed them after midnight, too. That's one other.
Yeah. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I am Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, you know this.
Yes, I do.
I think the listener knows this, but every Jordan, Jesse, Go is, of course, supported by the members of Maximum Fun.
I should hope they know that.
Like people who've gone to MaximumFun.org/join and signed up to kick us a few bucks a month. Those people always support our work.
But there are some special companies who occasionally support our work, and we like to take the time to thank them when appropriate.
This week, our thanks go to Libby. Libby, by the way, it is exciting to get. Sometimes we have a sponsor on the show that we're perfectly glad to share. This is one that we're excited to share. Libby is a free reading app created by Overdrive that lets you borrow ebooks and audiobooks from your library on your phone, tablet, your Kindle, your computers. All you need is a gosh darn library card, and goodness knows I have one of those.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're listening to this show and not in possession of a card from your local library. It'd be crazy. You're throwing money away if you're not if you don't have a library card.
Jordan, in my estimation, I would say more than 50% of the people listening to this right now have issued a library card.
I think
more than 50% of people have processed the paperwork and handed someone a library card. That's how library oriented our audience is.
And I think even if you haven't issued a library card, you definitely have the little fob on your key ring, and maybe you're holding it up in your Tinder profile picture. Or Bumble, or whatever your dating app of choice is. Just to let people know you're a reader.
You don't even need a library card to check out samples of books. And it's just like a real library. You borrow books. They return themselves automatically after the loan expires. You can, borrow them again. I have an audiobook recommendation, Jordan.
Please, let's hear it.
Check out your local library using Libby and check out the book, The Glory of Their Times. Look, it's a wonderful read as well, but it is an oral history of early baseball from all these sort of semi-legendary baseball players of the early 20th century. And if you even have a passing interest in baseball or American history, it is the most fascinating, delightful, it's just full of like great lingo and stuff. And the audiobook is the actual audio of these old-time baseball players, and I think it was like 1960-ish that they recorded these, telling the stories of their lives. It is like the funniest, most fascinating, wonderful. It's like maybe the greatest baseball book ever, and certainly the greatest baseball audiobook ever. So, Glory of Their Times. That's my recommendation.
I'm looking here on the Libby site, and it looks like you can get a lot of good stuff. Stuff from you got a Sally Rooney on here. You got memoir Educated, fantastic read. One of my favorite books I've read recently. Just a fascinating read. And you got a Hank Green on here. Anything? Ooh, a Danielle Steele. Ooh la la.
Have you ever seen that picture of Danielle Steele's desk?
No, I haven't. What's her desk like? Sexy?
She was a big deal in San Francisco and in San Francisco politics because she was like the richest person in San Francisco. She was worth like hundreds of millions of dollars. And she very famously had a desk that looked like a giant stack of Danielle Steele novels. And people should Google it because it's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, Libby, start reading with Libby now. Go to meet.libbyapp.com to sign up. That's meet.libbyapp.com to sign up. It's the only free reading app created by Overdrive and named after my childhood friend Evan's mom, Libby.
Get the app and own the Libbies. That's not part of their copy.
That's not how it works.
That's not. I'm just pitching maybe some copy.
Meet.libbyapp.com is where you find it. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Hi, Blaine Kapach. Hey, hi.
Hey, hi, Blaine. Hey, hi.
Hey, hi. Hey, hi.
When something momentous happens to you, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN, or just record a voice memo and email it to jjgo@maximumfun.org. we might run it on our segment Momentous Occasions, which is the segment we're now doing by playing one of the calls that Brian has. Brian?
Jordan, Jesse, powerful guest. This is Luke in Seattle calling with a momentous occasion. The other day, I was at the waterfront in a town in my neck of the woods, and I was trying to dunk a 360-degree camera underwater to see what it looked like underwater. Turns out, mostly just rocks down there. but while I was doing this, a stranger approached me from a socially distant distance and asked me if I were magnet fishing, and he had his whole magnet fishing regalia, and I was so thrilled to have met a real-life member of r/magnet fishing, which I've heard so much about from the illustrious Jesse Klein. So I was mistaken for a magnet fisher when I was just being a different kind of weirdo, and I met a real-life magnet fisher, and I thought that was thrilling. Also, if you're looking for another hysterically mundane Reddit to join, Jesse, might I recommend r/flashlights, which is just weird guys who really love flashlights. Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
I spotted a magnet fisher recently, and my friends from the Audubon Society were so impressed.
So, Blaine, you and I worked together for years on At Midnight, a show that culled most of its topics from weird subreddits. Did you have a favorite, or do you still have a favorite, like, weird Reddit world that you still follow?
You know, I just sort of, no, not really. I'm surprised. I haven't gone down any holes lately. Now that you mentioned it, they've all, if I've done anything, it's all run out of my head. Like, I've walked into a grocery store without a list.
That is so healthy. That is such a healthy thing to do.
What, going into a grocery store without a list?
No, I mean leaving weird internet gunk behind when you don't have to consume it.
Yeah, you know, I did feel like I was getting, do you know how when you can sleep too much and you sleep too much and then you feel puffy and weird and your eyes itch because you slept too much?
Yeah.
I felt like that about the internet, like a few times where I'm like, where you say out loud, I have to stand up and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's like a point where you do like consume so much internet, like if it's part of your job. And then it's to the point where, like, for me, it was like I couldn't laugh at things anymore. I could only laugh at like a 7-second vine where like Shrek gets hit with a pot leaf and then yells 9/11 was an inside job. Like, that's like, that became the only thing that, like, something so weird and abrasive. Yeah, that's kind of when I knew, like, oh, this is, I have had too much internet and I should probably stop having it.
I recently subscribed to a subreddit called Absolute Units. It's just stuff that's bigger than you would expect.
Right.
Well, like a giant horse or a huge bulldozer or something.
Yeah, like, you know those extra big cats? There's a lot of those.
Cats.
Oh, a Maine Coon.
Yeah. Or like a super huge rabbit.
Yeah. Jesse, is anything going on the magnet fishing subreddit lately? How are they dealing with COVID?
I was just talking, well, I mean, it's basically the ideal COVID hobby. It's outdoors, it's meditative and relaxing, and when you're doing it, no one's going to come close to you. No one will want to talk to you. It's too weird. I was talking actually to my wife about that subreddit earlier today, and she said to me, do people find anything good? And the answer is no, they do not. They don't find anything good. Like, the best thing, like, if you sort the subreddit by top for the past year, so you're just looking at the top posts for the past year, they're all just unusably slimy bicycles.
But isn't the thing, like, one guy once in, like, 2015 got a suit of armor, and now they're all just trying to, like, find that next suit of armor?
I don't know. Have you ever dropped a suit of armor into a river in Alabama?
No, I guess that's the issue.
Yeah, maybe you dropped a bicycle in there once, and then it got super slimy. But besides that, I don't think so. I really don't think, I mean, the thing that impresses me the most about it, it's like if you're a metal detector, which I think is the hobby, I think we can agree is the hobby that's closest to that. If you're a metal detector, especially like in Europe, sure, you're finding buttons, but like every once in a while, maybe you find like a Roman button. And once every 10 years, you find a gold button. You know what I mean? Whereas yeah. with magnet fishing, you're literally getting tin cans or whatever is whatever magnets stick to. I don't know if magnets stick to tin, but you're just getting like hobo cans, you know, where the top is coming off and it just says beans on the side.
Right, right. It's a classic hobo can.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen It Takes a Pet Like No Problem?
Oh. I'm sorry, what?
This is basically the hottest internet vid that I've seen. I'm going to say all year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this is the internet vid of 2020. It is from the Twitter account Bodega Cats. Do you guys follow Bodega Cats?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy about bodegas and Bodega Cats on Twitter the other day.
Oh, my. Oh, okay. I hope I'm not walking into a minefield here by describing one of their tweets.
It got very provincial about New York and bodegas. And I love New York and I love bodegas, but it got very strange very fast.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, New York City, greatest city in the United States, one of the greatest cities in the world. They get real huffy real quick about their corner stores.
Sure. And
they're like, well, yours don't have cats in them.
I see.
That's the main thing they say. They're like, well, they also say like that you can't get toilet paper in ours, but you can. So... The cats thing is the one thing that they say that is true.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and to their credit, a pretty serious advantage.
Yeah. Ours also don't have a small griddle on which they make weird things that you make on a tiny griddle.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. One thing that we do have in the stores out here are health regulations.
Yeah.
So it just... What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So the Bodega Cats Twitter account just mainly posts pictures of cats, you know, like falling asleep on a 12 pack of Miller High Life. And I love this. I love this every time it comes up, but sometimes there'll be a video. And this video was of someone, the filmer, the person filming is basically palming this kitten, like palming a kitten that is the size that you could palm it. And someone else, a bodega customer, I suspect, is there and he's just petting the cat as hard as a person can pet. You know, it's like that Simpsons where Nelson's petting Santa's little helper. And he's like, you got to pet him so you can feel it. It's that sort of petting. And in the most Sopranos-y soprano guy voice, he says, "Oh, it takes a pet like no problem. It's not afraid of nothing. That's a great cat right there." And then it's over, and then you watch it 12 more times, and then you go under a blanket.
That sounds great.
The best. It's the fucking, it takes a pet like no problem.
It takes a pet.
It's in that great, great category of internet video. Someone with an intense regional accent doing something kind of mundane. It's so funny.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Jordan? We takes a call like no problem.
We takes a call like no problem.
Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, and Ghost. Oh, driving, there's a cop. past him. Might be turning around. He might be coming for me. Before that happens, I just passed someone walking down the side of the road. Normal looking guy. With a bag of potato chips stuffed into his pants in front of him, open, presumably so that he could reach in it and eat as he walked. Just wanted to share that. Not seeing that cop. I think he'd be here by now. I guess he's not coming for me. All right. Love you guys.
Love you, too. Do you think this is one of those Rudolph Giuliani just... tucking in the shirt situations?
Yeah, he's like, I wasn't eating Fritos. I was tucking in my shirt.
Yeah, do you think that guy, this is just, we're just talking about, it's not a stranger. This is America's mayor.
Yeah. Also, don't call the podcast while you're driving. Or at least if you're calling the podcast while you're driving, use a hands-free device.
Use a hands-free device. Also, if you're eating potato chips out of your penis area, use a hands-free device.
Yes, there you go. Have Siri do it. Hey, Siri, exactly. Feed me chips out of my pants.
Hey, Alexa, play Huey Lewis in the News sports.
My phone is actually responding to this.
Funyuns fit on penis. God. You need to write something down.
I can fit mine into the scoop of a Frito.
You know what? I got some raisin bran, by the way, and two scoops of raisins. Too many raisins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How many, like 1.5 scoops? Do you think it's way too many or just kind of too many?
It's like seasoned to taste with raisins, but like a couple of them, it's like just wait. I just like, oh my God, I just ate 3 giant mouthfuls of raisins.
And you know what else is another thing I'd like to address, which is raisins? Those are just old grapes.
Finally, somebody's saying it.
They're feeding us old grapes like it's a fucking delicacy.
Jesse, man, you and Jordan Peterson, the only guys telling the truth.
Thank you very much. I'm a man's man.
Hey, you're intellectually honest. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Did you guys read that great Ben Shapiro tweet that just said, I went to Harvard Law School. Raisins are old grapes.
Right. Telling it like it is.
Guy's a straight shooter. Very relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves him.
I heard he lives in a peach.
Yeah.
I heard the same. Why not?
That's a great tactic for when you don't know enough polls about someone. Just like, oh, yeah, I heard they were born in a clam.
I heard he's a giant who saves his farts.
I hear he can turn into a fine mist.
206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Hi, it's me, Dave Hill, from before. Here to tell you about my brand new show on Maximum Fun, the Dave Hill Good Time Hour, which combines my old Maximum Fun show, Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident, with my old radio show, The Goddamn Dave Hill Show, into one new futuristic program from the future. If you like delightful conversation with incredible guests, technical difficulties, and actual phone calls from real-life listeners, you've just hit a street called easy. I'm also joined by my incredible co-host, the boy criminal Chris Gersbeck. Say hi, Chris.
Hey, Dave. It's really great.
That's enough, Chris. And New Jersey chicken rancher, Dez. Say hi, Dez.
Hey, Dave.
The Dave Hill Good Time Hour. Brand new episodes every Friday on Maximum Fun.
Plus, the show's not even an hour. It's 90 minutes.
Take that, stupid rules.
We nailed it. La, 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 la,
la, la, la, la. Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we host
Round Springfield. Round Springfield is a Simpsons adjacent podcast where we talk to your favorite Simpsons writers, voice actors, and everyone who's worked on the show to talk about shows that aren't The Simpsons. So we're going to be talking to people like David X. Cohen, Yeardley Smith, Tim Long about other projects they've worked on, sometimes projects that didn't go well, some failures,
yeah,
some rejection,
some failed pilots, some failed life events.
Yeah, we just talked to all the failures of The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So if you really love your Simpsons trivia and want to get to know the people who have worked on The Simpsons a little bit better, come by Round Springfield.
Every other week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. La, 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 la,
la, la. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Blaine Capatch, just back from a summer of milking rattlesnakes in Mexico.
Welcome back, Blaine.
Thanks. My dreams were my ticket out.
Milk those snakes.
They love it. They really do. It's like it relieves pressure.
Sure.
Blaine, we were talking before the recording. You guys have been able to keep the Nerd Poker D&D podcast going during all this, right?
It's true. It's true. It's fun. We play every week, a couple episodes a week. We see each other, which helps.
Oh, yeah. You have a Zoom component?
We do. Tell Zoom.
This is just a little glimpse behind the curtain here. We actually don't use Zoom for this podcast. So we have not seen each other this whole time. We're using a program called CleanFeed. And, you know, and there's pros and cons. I mean, like the con is, you know, maybe you feel a little bit less connected. You know, it's a little harder to, you know, kind of tell when somebody wants to talk. There's a little more over talk. But the pros are I can just eat Fritos out of my pants this whole time. Just reach in there, grab a salty handful. Oof.
Wait, you guys can hear each other? I can't hear anything. I'm just guessing as to what's being talked about.
Well, that explains a lot about the content of the show.
Yeah. Boy, howdy.
Well, you know what? Now that you mention it, the first time I saw Tony Basil was probably at the Opium Den. I had gone there to see the Cow Sills. And next thing you know, I'm going, who is she? And that was Tony Basil.
Yeah. No, I also would love to know karate.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Just really kick some tail.
I can turn into a fine mist.
I'm a giant that saves his farts. The prestige.
Blaine, you guys always get great people for nerd poker. Who have you had on recently?
We had the Roy Orbison hologram.
Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
Congratulations.
Actually, we just had Ungayo Bealum. I don't know if you know Ungayo.
Oh, Bay Area marijuana comedian Ungayo Bealum. He's a very nice man. Very funny, too.
Yeah, good guy. We have Tom Lennon on there from the Beatles. I don't know if you heard that guy.
Yeah. He was the cute one, right? The cute one?
No, I think that was Geech Kook, the guy that went on Carter Country. We're talking about the Beatles, right?
The Beatles.
No, that was the Bear.
Okay, right.
Yeah, you're thinking of the Bear.
Oh. You mean BJ and the Bear.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, do you remember, there was a TV show, it was called A Year at the Top. Do you remember it? And it had Greg Evigan, who was in BJ and the Bear, and also Paul Schaefer, of course, from Letterman. But they played these three elderly musicians, and they sell their soul to the devil to be young, top-of-the-charts singers for 1 year. Do you remember this show at all?
No.
Not in the slightest.
And this was some wild, like, 80s network TV thing?
It must have been, like, late 70s, maybe before the 80s. But they had a TV movie, and it had Greg Evigan and Paul Schaefer in it. They did a short season. I don't know if it was canceled early, only a few episodes. But, like, how do you wrap that up at the end when the devil comes for your souls?
I guess just like season two is just in hell. Season two is just the main characters being tormented in hell.
It was based actually directly on Paul Schaefer's experience selling his soul to the devil to get co-writing credit on It's Raining Men.
All right. That dude's farting through silk.
Yeah.
Half the publishing on the Weather Girls. Come on.
I'm telling you. How much do you think? I wish I could Google it, find out what Paul Schaefer's worth. I'm just very curious.
No, I guess there's no way to do that. Jesse, can you jump on maybe fogdog.com and see if they have any answers?
Yeah, it says venture capital from 1995. I don't know.
Interesting.
Well, they got it right here on Nick's check cashing place. He's worth $54,000.
Cool.
That's a nice nest egg.
That's good.
No, that's not bad. That's a mid-tier luxury vehicle.
Sure, yeah.
It's Canadian, which is worth like $78 million.
Oh, wow.
Get yourself an Infiniti with that money.
That explains it.
Yeah, maybe an Acura.
I can turn into a fine mist.
Well, Blaine, it has been a delight to have you on the program. We are grateful to hear your voice. Thank you for coming on the show. And we hope you'll come back soon.
Yeah. It was great. Thanks for having me.
Our show, produced by Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. We are on Twitter at Jordan_Morris and at Jesse Thorne. We're on Instagram at put.this.on and at Jordan David Morris. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Jordan Jesse Go. or join the Maximum Fun group. And we are on Reddit at maximumfun.reddit.com. Our theme music is Love You by The Free Design, courtesy of our friends in The Free Design and, of course, at Light in the Attic Records. And I think that's about it. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
It takes a pad, like, no problem.
Yeah.
Right? Not afraid at all. That's a great cat right there.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.